For more, we turn to the KCBS Ring Central Newsline to talk with Bob Hurton, Associate Professor of Aviation Safety at Embry-Riddle University's Travis Air Force Base Campus. Thanks a lot for talking to us today. Was this move more a matter of public relations, or do you think that it actually makes sense to ground these right now?
I'd be interested to see what this new information was that they found, but the public just doesn't have a high degree of confidence right now, so I think it might be best. But unfortunately, for some airlines that have the majority of their those airplanes, that's not a good idea.
Now, there aren't that many worldwide flying, though, are there?
No, but there sure are a lot in the U.S.
I see. Okay. And there were reports, of course, of pilots experiencing problems with the planes, and some said they could merely override autopilot. I mean,
correct.
How confusing were the directions that came along with the new planes?
Well, I haven't seen those, but I can tell you that anytime there's a new system, electronic or software-related system, it can be very confusing. I remember crews saying when they had the new flight management system in their aircraft, the two common things were, why did it do that? And the next one was, what's it going to do next? So it takes a lot of training to be aware of how to auto-disconnect or disconnect something when something goes wrong, particularly when you're not expecting it to go wrong.
And do they simply get printed instructions, or does Boeing send out, you know, people to walk them through?
Well, the manufacturers can do both. They can have Tiger teams go out and talk to the crews and maintenance people. They can also, and the flight crews. And then there's changes to the flight manuals that will go out. So it can be pretty intensive and pretty extensive to make those changes. But it's part of it has to do with training. If you're going to get a new system, you've got to really be aware of what it's going to do and how it does it. Some of the in-flight problems that some other carriers had with some of the autopilot stuff was because it was programmed incorrectly, and they almost lost aircraft over the Pacific because of that.
That's pretty scary. I mean, it just doesn't instill confidence in the flying public, I think.
Well, I would fly on the 737, any model. I would go on it, but I'd peek my head in the cockpit and say, "You guys up to speed on your processes and procedures?" But I'd still fly it.
And is it you'd fly it on airlines in this country? What about in Ethiopian airline?
Other countries, I would be a little more hesitant because I have seen and known crews from other countries, and there's a really disparity on the level of training. In some cases, matter of fact, some of the retired airline pilots here would be hired by other countries because they needed somebody who had that expertise and that professionalism.
Is it ever a language difference issue when it comes to training or manuals?
Well, it is. It's tough. I remember Japanese airline guys, JL, learning to fly and speak English at the same time. They did a heck of a good job. But you can lose some nuances. But English is the language of aviation throughout the world. It's just that in some countries, it's almost like it's a second or third language. Because you really have trouble understanding even the traffic controllers.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for talking to us. Appreciate the time. That is Embry-Riddle University's Bob Hurton.